This is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. There is an ongoing pressure of sense objects on us. Srila Prabhupada's disciples appear to overcome it by their faith and love for Him. How to increase our love and faith for our spiritual master?
Well, faith comes from following the instructions of the spiritual master. And when one follows the instructions of the spiritual master and sees how by following those instructions one's life improves and one can overcome the difficulties, then naturally appreciation, gratitude, and love will come forth in a very natural way. We have to learn how to always be fully dependent upon the instructions which are given to us. Just as the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a wonderful verse by Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, where he says, the path is difficult and I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore I am praying for the saints to grant me their stick of mercy for my support. So that stick of mercy means that we have to understand that it is very, very difficult to make advancement in spiritual life without taking help from a superior devotee. And the more one takes that help and feels strength as the result of taking shelter, then naturally love will grow because one is feeling that reciprocation in a relationship. So it begins with faith. And then when faith, by applying the instructions of the spiritual master and seeing how by application of those instructions helps us to advance, then love and appreciation will also naturally follow.
This is for Jayadev Swami Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu performed austerities for...
Before you get to that, I'm just thinking about that previous question. You know, someone's complaining, some new person is asking why these incarnations all appeared in India. It's like somebody comes to your quarter and starts giving out like hapush mangoes. And then you start complaining, well, why here? You know, you were so fortunate that they're giving out the mangoes here. Take them, stupid. And Krishna is so kind that he's appeared in your neighborhood. Just take advantage and don't say, well, why here? Okay, good question.
Hiranyakashipu performed austerities for 100 celestial years while Prahlad was in the womb of Kayadu. So how is it that Prahlad was only 5 years old when Hiranyakashipu came back home? What does it mean, Maharaj? No comment or who cares?
Well, somebody obviously cares. But it doesn't mean I have to care.
This is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. How can we avoid viewing our spiritual master's activities on the material platform, which often happens because of close association with him? And the second part is, how can we view our spiritual master as Satchidananda?
Satchidananda. Srila Prabhupada did quote that, familiarity breeds contempt. One has to be very, very careful to not become so familiar that one begins to perceive the activities of the spiritual master as ordinary material activities. And sometimes we even see that even in Srila Prabhupada's case is that he would distance sometimes some disciples if he saw that familiarity was setting in. Because how can a disciple advance if he thinks his spiritual master is an ordinary personality, an ordinary human being? It is very difficult. One actually has to have implicit faith. Yasya Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi Kutata Guru. For one who has implicit faith in both the Supreme Lord and to the spiritual master, then all the imports of Vedic literatures will automatically become revealed. So if one is actually getting that kind of perspective about one's spiritual master, then one has to look within his own heart and actually examine, why am I thinking this way? And if it's simply due to his relativizing the position of the spiritual master, then he should understand that it would be probably better for him to distance himself so that he can actually appreciate this and to see the spiritual master in terms of what he's actually delivering, what he's actually giving to his disciple and giving to other disciples, rather than simply looking for the flaw, for the imperfection. It's recommended that one should not see any flaw or imperfection as something material. There'll be flaws. What is the example given? Just like there are bubbles in the Ganges, one should not think that there's some imperfection in the behavior of the spiritual master, that it is something material. Prabhupada actually was at one story. Maharaj, I think that was with you also on a morning walk. Wasn't there something like that? What was that?
I asked Srila Prabhupada that I was in Mayapur, we were on a morning walk. I asked Srila Prabhupada that sometimes we see from the mundane point of view that the spiritual master makes mistakes. Prabhupada said, that is mundane point of view. Then I said that, well, sometimes even we see that in spiritual things, he may forget a verse or misquote a verse. And Prabhupada again said that that was the mundane point of view. In the discussion, it came out that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the greatest scholar, but he accepted as his spiritual master Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was illiterate. So we have to see not in terms, as you said, not in terms of material qualifications, but how we have to see how the spiritual master is preaching and how he's engaged in devotional service.
Can I add a little something? Hare. Also, in our society, we are in a society, we are all the spiritual descendants of Srila Prabhupada. We are either direct initiates or grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Everyone should see in ISKCON, if you are initiated by one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, you should see them as being the servant of Srila Prabhupada and appreciate whatever service they are doing for Prabhupada's mission, because all of my godbrothers who have accepted disciples are doing very wonderful service, and they are very, very extended. They are doing so much service, as a matter of fact, traveling all over the world, just especially trying to encourage the devotees and inspire the devotees. So you should see them not with, as Maharaj is saying, the Maharajas are saying, not always nitpicking pluses or minuses, but you should see them as a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Thus, everything they're doing is glorious up until the point, unless something really goes wrong, you know, something really goes wrong in their spiritual life. But otherwise, generally speaking, they're doing wonderful service. Therefore, that is, if you see them in relationship with Srila Prabhupada, then you won't get hung up on this point.
One last point on this point. The example that Prabhupada gives, he says, just like he was saying of himself, out of his humility, he was saying, just like I may not be liberated soul, but if I'm falling liberated soul, to that degree that I'm falling, I am liberated. So he also gives the same example. Just like I may not be expert mechanic, but if I follow somebody who's an expert mechanic, and to the degree that I follow him, to that degree I'm expert mechanic. So in the same way, we have to see that if we're looking for perfection, we just simply have to see to what degree are they following the instructions of the perfect spiritual master. And that's what we have to look at.
This is for Jetha Swami Maharaj. My mind tends to plan the whole day's program in my morning japa time. What is the solution to this problem?
Well, one thing is you're doing pretty well. It takes me all day.
This is not His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. How have you developed such close relationships with His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in a relatively short span of time? Please tell us so that we can develop very close relationships with our God brothers.
Such short span of time? Is that what it said? Well, I don't see it as such a short span of time. And when I first associated with him, it was over 20 years ago. But but I guess maybe that's a short span of time. But my relationship with His Holiness Radhanatha Maharaj began when I first associated with him over 20 years ago, when I traveled with him in America. And I feel that because of that experience I had during the time that I traveled with him over a period of some weeks, I can't remember how long it actually was, I felt gratitude right from the very beginning. And that sense of gratitude, how he accepted me. He had just recently taken sannyas, and I was a candidate to take sannyas, and I was recommended to travel with Radhanath Maharaj. So I actually went there with the hope of getting some association, getting some experience, and the result was that I got much more than what I even expected to get. So because of that, gratitude naturally awakened within my heart, and I never forgot it. So even though throughout all those years that we were in separation, I never forgot that gratitude I had, and I would always look for opportunities, and he would note how, although he was, for that period of time, as many of you know, and not part of ISKCON, he would always take notice of how I was always looking for opportunities to associate with him when he was thinking, why are you coming to associate? But I would always look for opportunities to go and associate. And I think probably that was the beginning of how everything else naturally developed afterwards. Because we had an appreciation for each other, then naturally the relationship grew into something that was very close and very binding.
This is Pajjati Swami Maharaj.
Hello. Yeah, about that previous one about chanting, there's one practical thing and one spiritual thing. On the practical side, you can, if you have a data plan, you can set aside some time in the previous day, say in the evening or whenever, and plan out what you're going to do the next day. Or if you're chanting, you can think that when I'm finished with my chanting, there'll be some time and I'll plan out my day then. In terms of direct, that's textbook management stuff. In terms of spiritual textbooks, we should fix our mind on the sound of the holy name. The practice of chanting is that wherever the mind goes, we simply have to bring it back to the transcendental sound. That's the discipline. That's the practice. The mind, by its nature, it's going to go here, it's going to go there. If it's not thinking about planning the day, it's going to be thinking about something else. So we have to bring it back to the sound of the holy name. That's our discipline.
This is a fallout of the previous question about Hiranyakashipu. If the lifespan in Treta Yuga is 10,000 years, then the 14 years of exile for Lord Ramchandra is not a very big time. Yet the Lord's exile period is considered to be very big. Why?
Prabhupada said, how long was Putin a witch? How many trees did she knock down? How many men did she kill? These are examples of questions that are not so essential.
Next one is, we see that other spiritualists, other than Krishna conscious devotees, that is Mayavaris, Brahmavaris, Buddhists, at least some of them are able to practice their philosophy and maintain their renunciation. How can they do this if they are devoid of any higher taste of devotional service?
They have some assets. Someone is a transcendentalist. Of course, we regularly flay these Brahmavadis, Buddhists, and so on. But they have some credit that they're disgusted with this material world. They've seen the futility of material existence, and so they're seeking some better thing. And it may be that just in the hope of that better thing, you know, they haven't actually landed in the realm of that better thing, but they have some hope that there must be something better than this material world. That much good fortune they have, that much credit they have. So they take to some transcendental method, they take to austerity or study or whatever, but for lack of proper guidance, for lack of proper direction, they don't come directly to devotional service. So again, that's why it's important for the preachers to be active, so that these persons who do have that spark of good fortune that they out of thousands and thousands and thousands of men, manusyanam sahasreshu, out of thousands, somebody actually thinks, enough of this material world, I've had it, I don't want it anymore. So then the devotees have to be there to tell them, well, all right, then come here. And even those who've taken to some discipline or some path, Mayavadi or this or that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching to them about Krishna consciousness. So we have a lot of work to do.
This is from Makhanlal Prabhu. How to choose our spiritual master? Am I really at that platform to choose my own spiritual master?
Well, first of all, whoever is thinking like that should be very cautious. It means there's a lot of doubt and confusion. The first point is you should try to understand what is guru. Therefore, you should read in Srila Prabhupada's books until you can get a better understanding of what is guru. And you should not be looking for someone who's infallible. I don't know, I seriously doubt that you will find any of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are initiating disciples who claim to be infallible. I don't believe that you're going to find anyone. You can ask. I don't think you're going to find any of my godbrothers who are initiating students that are going to say that they're infallible. So first of all, try to understand what is guru. And remember, Krishna says, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Paripasthani Sivya Ubari Aksantite Gyanam Gyananastatva Darshanam. You can approach the spiritual master, you inquire submissively, try to get to know him. If you're not inspired by somebody, then don't take initiation from them. In some respects, it's rather basic. During the so-called zonal acharya era of history of ISKCON back in the mid-1980s, actually, it was a disaster for ISKCON. Why? Because people were taking initiation from somebody they didn't even like. That's not the process. Finally, after much suffering and thousands of devotees left this movement, and since the movement has become older and wiser, they realize, oh, actually, that didn't work so good. You can't legislate the heart. The real issue is you can't legislate the heart. If you're moved, touched, and inspired somebody, then you should consider taking initiation from them. But also, perhaps, let's say you are in a situation, you're taking you hear one of ISKCON's authorized bona fide spiritual masters, you hear a lecture or something like that, you become very inspired and say, oh yes, he's the one. But actually you're expecting that you're going to have a very close and intimate one-on-one relationship for the rest of your life with that person, or for the rest of his life or her life, for those, I think that Mother Malati, she's initiating, isn't she? Or not initiating. Anyways, eventually there'll probably be some God sisters initiating also. So the point is that you should be very cautious, get to know the person, get to know their seva. If they have 3,000 disciples, but your expectation is that you're going to have non-stop email correspondence, or that you're going to be continually getting lots of one-on-one personal attention, then you'll end up disappointed with that person. is very dangerous because you might even fall away from Krishna consciousness. Oh, I took initiation from such and such Maharaj, and he never paid any attention to me, and so I don't see the point of this whole thing, and da-da-da-da-da. No, that can be very risky. You have to be inspired by the example that that person sets in their service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Maybe you won't have a lot of personal experience. So you have to put a lot of things on the table and weigh it, just like you see in an Indian vegetable market. You see vegetables this side, weights this side. That's how you have to select a spiritual master. You have to, I'm very inspired in this way and this way and this way, but I don't know, I have some doubt about this and this. You can weigh it out, and then you should approach that person. If you have some doubt, you're thinking about initiation, but you have some doubt, then you should send an email or make some inquiry from senior disciples, etc. But you should definitely know who you are going to take initiation from, and there's no rush. This is not, a fad. You know, Prabhupada made that very clear. He said it's not a fashion. Having a spiritual master is not a fashion. So it's a permanent decision, actually. So it's a multi-lifetime decision. It's an eternal decision, because in the spiritual world, we will all be in Prabhupada's family. So first point is read carefully in Prabhupada's books, understand what is guru. Second point is, make certain that the person that you're going to take initiation from, inquire from senior disciples, find out what their style, methodology and things, make sure that you're okay with that so that you can be dedicated. Then you will be, have no doubts.
This is for Jayadev Swami Maharaj. Two parts. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a Daivi Varnashram system which includes devotees with Kshatriya attributes and qualities. Can this be accomplished?
Why not?
How?
Yeah, Prabhupada wanted to do it, then it's assumed that it can be done. There are different qualities. Kshatriya means rule, management, take charge mentality, Ishvara Bhava. So, why not? For that matter, military. There can be devotees who have military service, police. But if we had suppose if this were a village and we had, 500 or 1,000 devotees. So some would be engaged in agriculture, some would be engaged in teaching, some would have to manage things, someone would have to be in charge of the police department or the government of the village. So there's scope for everybody to be engaged properly, and some would be assistants.
The second part is that today there are so many people claiming to be Bhagawan, and gullible innocent people surrender to these hoaxes in hordes. All these people could be saved and brought into the fold of Krishna consciousness if such hoaxes or pseudo-bhagavans are exposed by defeating them in a debate or by some other method. Is it all right for ISKCON, with its strong philosophy, to remain silent?
No, we're not supposed to be silent at all. That's the one thing we're not supposed to be, is silent. We may not particularly name such and such person, then that doesn't really get very far, because there's all these people who are saying, this Bhagavan is the greatest, and we come there and say, that Bhagavan is a dog. And it doesn't really go very far. Prabhupada quoted the saying that if you kill a skunk with your hand gets a bad smell. So we may not name such people, but we put forward what the actual situation is, and we have the expression, if the shoe fits, wear it. That is to say, if the description we give fits your Bhagavan, our description of a rascal, if that fits your Bhagavan, then he's a rascal. Huh? A person who's simply a magician, a person who's recommending all adharma, a person who has none of the, can't demonstrate any of the characteristics of Bhagavan, he opens the biggest hospital in India and now he's Bhagavan. So we may not name such rascals, but we have to speak strongly. What is Bhagavan? What is the characteristics of Bhagavan? What is a pseudo-Bhagavan? And then people can understand what is what. We should not be silent. We should speak very loudly.
This is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Why, when Krishna disappeared, did he submerge Dwarka in the ocean and bring about the destruction of his Yadu dynasty?
Well, Prabhupada, it's explained, I guess it's in the 11th canto, that Krishna brought about the destruction of the Yadu dynasty because nobody else could do it, because they were Krishna's associates. Therefore, Krishna had to make any arrangement to have them destroyed. That's the answer. Mm-hmm. Krishna had to do it because no one else could do it, because they were Krishna's associates.
This is for Jayadev Swami Maharaj. Suppose I have done very sinful activity which I only know, but I don't want to tell others, thinking about my fame. Is it hypocrisy? And how can I be free from it?
Is it hypocrisy?
Yes.
It's hypocrisy if you keep doing it. That you're presenting yourself as an advanced devotee, but you're committing sinful activities. But past, it's not that I have to come out, you know, in front of an assembly and said, 5 years ago I did this, and 10 years before I did that, and when I was in high school I did this, and I did this sinful act. It's not that we all have to have, you know, instead of this session of Krishna Katha, we could all come up one after another and tell all the sinful things that we did before we came to Krishna consciousness. That's not required. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made Jagai and Madhai devotees. He forgave them for all their sinful activities. He just said, now don't do it anymore. Stop. That's the end. It doesn't matter what someone's background of sinful activities, how many, what kind, where, how. Krishna consciousness means yesham twantagatam papam. To come to the end, put an end to sinful activities. That's all. Just stop. We don't have to talk about it. We just have to stop it.
This is for Makhanlal Prabhu. What is the relationship between showing compassion towards others and showing humility? Because in compassion we have to consider ourselves higher than others, and in humility we consider ourselves lower than others.
Who says compassion, you have to declare yourself higher than others? That's bogus. We're Vaishnavs. We follow what the Shastra says. Please show me in the Shastra where it says that. This is called mental speculation. You know, when people write questions like this, they're not reading enough in Prabhupada's books. Show me where it says anything like that. To be compassionate on others, you must think of yourself higher than them. You're not going to find it in Prabhupada's books. Again, Gopi Parakalam Das Anudasura Das. Paradukha Dukhi. We say Paradukha Dukhi. The Vaishnavs are concerned about raising others above suffering condition. Para means above, but that's raising them above suffering condition. It doesn't mean that we are above them. And are, you know, even if a Vaishnav thinks that we are above somebody else, they must see themselves as being a via media inside of the parampara. An example can be like mountain climbing. When the mountain climbing is done, supposing you're going up a very dangerous mountain like the Himalayas, the supermaster, the best mountain climber, is at the top of the rope system, then another mountain climber is down below, and others are lower and lower on the rope. And supposing there are some very inexperienced persons who are going to die if they don't get a hold on the same rope, If they don't connect with the same rope, they're going to die for sure and be severely injured, etc. Then you try to make an arrangement to bring them into that situation. But you can't be thinking about how you're above them and this and that. This false ego pride, that's not inside of Vaishnav way of doing things. So there shouldn't be this false distinction between being above others and compassion. Everything we do is on the absolute platform.
This is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. There are various qualities of devotees mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So should one work on each of them, or would they come to us automatically? How do we imbibe these qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita?
Prabhupada would many times quote that verse from 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the good qualities of the demigods, such as knowledge, religion, and renunciation, will automatically become manifest in the devotee of the Lord. On the other hand, a non-devotee cannot have any good qualities. So, Prabhupada, even speaking about his own disciples, he would quote that verse, saying just that they are automatically developing good qualities because they're becoming lovers of God. So certainly a devotee will automatically develop all good qualities. But what about till we get to that point when we actually become devotees? Therefore, certainly we should try to develop the various qualities that are given of the characteristics of a devotee of the Lord. We have to practice. Devotional service in the beginning stages is practice until we actually become fully qualified. Just like, what is that verse? Smartavyam satatam vishno vismartavyo najatu chit. Sabhavidhi nisedasyo etiyo eva kinkara. This verse describes that Krishna must be remembered and Krishna must never be forgotten. All the rules and all the prohibitions which are given in the scriptures are meant to be the servant, to serve this principle. So, the vidhis and the shedas, the prescribed activities, there are positive activities and there are also prohibited activities. Both are meant ultimately to always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the commentary to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that here we see the word satatam, which means always. So, if it's always, the devotee always remembers the Supreme Lord, then why does he have to follow rules and prohibitions? And because one's not really on that platform yet where he can always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore he must follow rules, prescribed activities, which will help him, and prohibited activities until he comes to that platform where he can always remember the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he says the word satatam in this verse means every day. That is the difference. So every day means every day we have to practice remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead because we cannot always remember Him. So in the same way, until we actually come to the stage as perfect devotees and automatically develop all good qualities, until we come to that platform, we have to practice developing these qualities. We practice developing simplicity, tolerance, humility, pridelessness. These are all natural qualities for the soul, but because we still have many impurities within our heart, we practice these qualities. And at the same time, we try to fix our mind on Krishna, and then automatically they'll come when we become actually completely Krishna conscious.
This is for Jayadev Swami Maharaj. Why are Krishna's ways of doing things so complicated? To stop misuse of Vedas, he comes as Buddha, rejecting the authority of Vedas. To overcome this and to establish Vedas again, he comes with Shankara's impersonal Brahman, giving chance for this pseudo-spirituality. Why like this?
Why should you criticize? If you want simplicity, Krishna comes. as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and says, Sarva Dharman Pratyajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Simple. Now do it. But you want to do something else. You want to be complicated. So then Krishna makes complicated arrangements to deal with you. From another point of view, you're not appreciating. You know, in a good story, sometimes the plot is very complicated. So if you read the book and say, why is the plot so complicated? Because it's a good book. Stupid. It means you have no artistic appreciation how the author has done all these things and made the plot complicated. So sometimes Krishna is very, very simple. He just comes and says, surrender. And sometimes Krishna does things in a different way. That means he's versatile. It means he can do things in many different ways. He's not stereotyped that all he can do is say, here I am, surrender, here I am, surrender, here I am, surrender. He can appear as a fish, he can appear as a tortoise, he can appear as half lion, half man, he can appear as his own devotee. He can appear in so many different ways.
Another one for Jayadeva Swami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples or followers to become independently thoughtful. How can we do this while still remaining submissive to our authorities?
I'm tempted to say, follow their instructions and do it and think what you like. Independently thoughtful doesn't mean, well, let's think about it a second. How do we become independently thoughtful while still following our authorities? There are different kinds of authorities. Certainly we shouldn't become so independently thoughtful that we're independent of the spiritual master. That's not what Prabhupada meant. Prabhupada called that over-intelligent, not independently thoughtful. Over-intelligent. So that we have to keep always before us, that we have to be submissive to the spiritual master. We have to follow his instructions. We should not overstep him. Now, in carrying out the spiritual master's instructions, there tends to be a standard way of doing things. Now, sometimes that standard is coming from scripture. Sometimes that standard is coming from carefully thought out ideas. And sometimes that standard is just coming from inertia. Well, we've always done it this way, so that's how we're going to do it. Or we just don't have another idea. I'm talking about practical affairs. Some method of preaching, some method of spreading Krishna consciousness. Well, we've always done it this way, so this is how we're doing it. Even though we're not getting results, even though it's not bringing about, you know, even though we're not getting results, we just keep doing the same thing without thinking, is there another way to do it? Is there another way to do it? Is there a new contribution we can make? With the aim of carrying out the instruction of the spiritual master, not becoming an outlaw and not reinventing all of the, you know, tossing out the tradition, not that kind of independently thoughtful, but intelligent, how to carry out the spiritual master's instruction, how to implement what the spiritual master wanted. So we were hearing this morning that Devamrita Maharaj said that they were going to the concerts. Prabhupada never said go to the rock concert, but they thought, let's go to the rock concert and it'll be a good place for distributing books. Then they thought, well, where should we go inside the rock concert? Well, everyone has to go to the bathroom. Let's go there and stand outside. And then, well, why not stand inside? So that's intelligence. How to do things in such a way as to carry out the spiritual master, not the spiritual master's desire. Not that, well, everyone's doing it this way, I have to do it this way. I can also examine it and say, why are we doing it this way? Is there another way to do it? Is there another possibility? And we've seen that many times in preaching, where our preachers will be very successful by just looking at it and saying, this isn't working. Is there another way to do this? That's independently thoughtful. And it doesn't mean that now we get into a fight with all the authorities and we're going to, you know, smash and clash. But it means that we have a brain, we can think about it, and look and see if there's some way to apply it. It doesn't mean uncooperative, independently thoughtful, therefore uncooperative. But I can make a contribution by thinking for myself and saying, well, is there another way to do this? Let me think if there's anything else independently thoughtful.
This is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj.
No. It also means that while studying the literature, we think about it. That it's not that we think about what we're reading. That I try to understand everything, not by speculation, not by innovation or concoction, but that I'm thinking, what does this mean? How does this apply to my life? How does it apply to my environment, to the world? That's independently thoughtful, not just that I kind of sit there and nod and say, yeah. But I'm thinking. I'm thinking about Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Prabhuji, take the mic, please.
Prabhupada said, just study my books, but repeat in your own words.
Mm.
So that's independently thoughtful.
Yeah.
Not just repeating like a machine, you're thinking about it and expressing it according to your own realizations within your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, the Prabhupada said that's realization, that it, when you can assimilate the knowledge and then express it in your own words or apply it. Prabhupada said realization means practical application. Again, anyone, we can all read from the book and said, in the fourth chapter, in the second verse, it says this, and that's the answer to your question. And it may be, that may be sufficient. But sometimes we have to think and say, now how does this verse apply to such and such circumstance? That's thoughtfulness. Yeah, good. Thank you.
This is Pandiranjan Swami Maharaj. Chanting, dancing and feasting is very nice and can be done in the Punya Yatra. But outside, the struggle for survival overcomes our consciousness. Not material greed, but simply maintaining the status quo.
Not to what? I'm sorry.
It is not material greed.
Material greed. Uh-huh.
But simply to maintaining the status quo, that overwhelms us and our sadhana is affected. So how to balance this?
Well, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, in his commentary to Nadiya Godunami Nityananda Mahajani, he explains that how is it that one can incessantly chant the holy name of the Lord. He says that it's not that one gives up the responsibilities of his particular status in life, whether he be household brahmachari or vanaprast or sannyas. He says if one gives up his responsibilities and his particular status of life, he said, then how will he be able to live? He said he will expire untimely. I think those are the words that he uses. Therefore, one has to, he says, in this particular context, therefore, to incessantly chant the holy name of the Lord means that one has to perform his duties simply because they are to be done, but he performs them for the ultimate purpose of utilizing his human form of life and that of his family members for chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasadam. That is the whole goal for maintaining one's life in this body. What is that verse in the Bhagavad? Kamasya nindriya pratiya labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa nata yasti hakramabhi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live because the human form of life enables him to inquire to the absolute truth. This should be the goal of his work. So the goal of his work in this world, so-called maintaining the status quo, just simply the basic necessities of life, the goal is for chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasadam and the association of devotees. And if he remains fixed that that is the goal, then all his work has an objective and becomes Gona Dharma. It becomes his support for his devotional service. But if he forgets what is the goal, and if he's never chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam in the association of devotees, then what is the value of such a prolonged life, which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world, as explained in the Bhagavatam? So, therefore, the goal of our work in this world is to chant, dance, and feast in the association of devotees. And if we don't do it, then some siddhya haritoshanam. What is that verse? Dharmasyat, dharmas finushita pungsam vishvaksenu katasyat notpariyat yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. We're wasting our time. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position is considered to be simply so much useless labor if it doesn't provoke attraction for hearing a chanting about Krishna. So, that is the goal. So, although we may have to do it, we simply perform these duties in relationship to the body, and our relationship to our own bodies, maintaining our bodies, maintaining the bodies of our family members. We perform it as simply as a matter of duty. That is all. And therefore, we perform it as a matter of duty for the higher purpose of chanting, dancing, and feasting in the association of devotees, and coming into the association such as such festivals. Here is the Punyatra. Attending weekly festivals at the temple, having festivals in one's home, inviting devotees to the home for chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam. This is the goal of all of one's work. And if one is fixed, then certainly Krishna will facilitate.
You also have to select a favorable lifestyle. I mean, you're describing a favorable lifestyle. Even if you don't have people over to your apartment on a regular basis or something, but, you know, you have to make certain decisions not to stay up till 11:30 at night so that you sleep in until 7:30, gulp down something and run off to work or whatever. That's unfavorable. You have to arrange your life so you take rest early, rise early, chant your rounds before you go to work. Don't watch karmic television. You know, these kinds of decisions you have to make, commitments you have to make are very important. There must be a first-class temple shrine in your home where you do your bhajan, you do your reading every day together with a wife and children or roommates or whatever. You have to commit to, as soon as you're home from that work, you know, if you turn on a television, basically you're a dead man, you know. So you have to commit to the Krishna conscious lifestyle as soon as you get home and as much as possible at work. It's a commitment to a way of life. If you do that, then always listening to kirtan, always listening to tapes of your spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, always reading his books, preferably together with someone else in that time, that time slot you have when you get home, besides eating, you have to do that hearing and chanting.
One has to be independently thoughtful.
This is for Jayadev Swami Maharaj. How should we achieve the conviction that Krishna consciousness life is superior to a life of sense gratification, especially sex pleasure?
How should we get that conviction? Well, there are different ways to get that conviction. The best way to get that conviction is by hearing from self-realized persons who have thoroughly understood it. By hearing, and then by realizing that subject matter by careful thought, that this is what they're saying. How is this true? That's the best way, by hearing. The worst way is by going through it and finding out for yourself. Another way is by seeing. Practically, all these other people who are trying it out for themselves, are they happy? Are they in always joyful life? America, they have full scope for cat and dog sort of sex life. Is everyone there in bliss and ecstasy? So it's a little intelligent that if I follow the path of these people, where am I going to be? I'm going to be where they are. And where are they? They're in confusion and misery. Huh? So why should I follow them? And if I follow these people, the Mahajans, the self-realized souls, then another destination. So by hearing, by seeing, by enlightened seeing, anudarsh, what is that? Gyanachakshusha. Mudhoyam na anupashyanti. Pashyanti gyanachakshusha. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said that the fools don't see by following. Real seeing is not just seeing, but it's seeing by following those who've seen clearly. Itishu shumadhirana yenas tatvitachakshire. So when we see that way, then we actually see. Mudho yam nanu pashanti, pashanti gyana chakshusha. We have to see with eyes of knowledge. Where do we get that knowledge? From the spiritual master, from the sadhus, from the scriptures.
This is again for Tejas Swami Maharaj. I feel a great difference between my perspective to Krishna consciousness internally and externally. What I show is totally different. Please guide me to reducing this difference.
There's a difference between what we feel internally and what we show.
Or what I am internally and externally, what I show to others.
What I am internally and what I show to others. What to do about that? Well, the whole world, everyone is putting on a show of what they are. There's, in sociology, it's called construction of identity, and there's all sorts of talk about that. But we construct some sort of projection to create, favorably impress others. So that's a natural human enterprise. But a Vaishnav practices taking a humble position, not showing Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur criticizes that I'm a great Vaishnav, I've got Kantimala, I've got this. It's not that we're taking to Krishna consciousness to project to others that we're great devotees. That's a path to fall down. But we should take the path of being humble. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, amanina amanadena. Not that we're after being respected. We always act in such a way that people will think we're great. But we should take the humble position. Amanina manadena. That path. That path. And internally we should try to be purified. Externally we should try to, turn down the show. And internally we should try to increase our assets. If you want to reduce the disparity between what's outside and what's inside, and reduce the outside, what do they say? Tarak Barak? Is that right? The outside pomp and show, and increase the internal substance.
This question is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. In Krishna consciousness, we have a special time for chanting and hearing. When should we contemplate on what we have heard? Because when we don't contemplate what we have heard, it just becomes a lot of data. And how to contemplate on what we have heard?
When, meaning what time of the day, or or when, meaning at what stage in our life? I don't quite understand the definition of when in the question.
Seems when means after that particular event is over.
Well, certainly, one actually has to digest that which he has heard. But depending upon one's faith in the source of that knowledge, that person can help it to be digested very quickly. In other words, if Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if the man is potent and the woman is fertile, then conception takes place. So similarly, if the speaker is realized, and if the hearer is capable of assimilating that which is being presented to him, then digestion takes place simultaneously, practically speaking. So it just simply depends upon the qualification of the speaker and the qualification of the hearer. If the hearer is very fertile, then actually it will enter within the ears. Just like satam prasanga mamaviyu sambado bhavanti hritkana rasayana kata. Right? In the association of devotees, discussions of pastimes, activities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're very pleasing to the ear and the heart. So pleasing to the ear and the heart means is that something is happening when it's entering into the ears, that it's actually creating a sense of pleasure, satisfaction within the self simply by entering in the ears. It's already entering into the heart. So this is certainly the most essential type of hearing and chanting, is to have both qualified speaker and qualified hearers. Right? Just like, what is it, Sutta Goswami says, "Oh, sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are glorious." No. What is that? Munya saru pishto hamba vibhya loka mangalam.
Yatkata Krishna samprashna.
Yes. In other words, he's glorifying the persons who are asking the questions. Yet you're qualified.
Bariyane shate prashna.
What's the other verse?
Bariyane shate prashna.
What's the translation?
That, my dear king, your questions are glorious.
Yes, questions are glorious. Only questions of this sort can satisfy the self. So, therefore, both have to be there. So, when could be immediately. And, of course, if we can't really assimilate it all immediately, then certainly, if it's something that has any kind of impact within our heart, and thoughtful, and we really appreciate it, then it's immediately after we hear it. We should begin to consider what we've heard, especially since hearing means acting. If we're not hearing and then acting upon what we heard, if it's the absolute truth, if we hear, we have to act. Otherwise, it's just simply a vibration going on in the ear. But if we're actually hearing, it means it's very compelling. So if we actually heard something that it was very, very relevant to our existence, then certainly we'll want to act very quickly before we lose it.